May the grace, mercy, and peace of God be with each one this morning. And I can say for myself, I've been encouraged by being here this morning. I really enjoy the Sunday school classes and the lessons. And I appreciate the emphasis on, you know, it needs to be more than a history class. It needs to motivate us for Christian living today in the challenges that we face today. And I appreciate that. Message for this morning is an assigned message. The title is The Law of Sowing and Reaping. You know, there's a lot of natural laws that are put in place, that God put in place in the beginning, that never change, and that we don't even question. Gravity would be one of those that we probably deal with every day. Some of us might find out the hard way, and we end up going down faster than what we expected. Another one would be that, you know, we always expect the sun to come up in the east and set in the west. That is another thing that God put in place from the beginning that doesn't change. You look at our solar system, how the earth, the planets, and how all that works together. Laws of creation. And the law of sowing and reaping is also a creation principle. In Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12 talks about that. The seed time and harvest, summer and winter, and how God made plants and made seeds to come from those plants that bear fruit of that kind. And we're all very familiar with that. We're used to planting in the soil, farming, and we know that if you plant peas will come out. If you plant corn, it'll be corn that comes out of the ground. Those things we don't question. We know that. But this law also applies to our spiritual life, not only in the natural. And oftentimes, you know, we might look at this as a negative subject, and it can be, but it can also be a very positive subject. And the difference is in what we plant, really. And we want to look at that a little bit this morning. The difference is in the seeds that we plant, whether it's going to be positive or going to be negative. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. A few verses there I'd like to read for our text. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through verse 10. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Verse 8 talks about the two different kinds of sowing. It says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So as a Christian, we're either sowing to the flesh or we're sowing to the Spirit. And if we go back a chapter in Galatians 5, verse 19, it talks about the works of the flesh and then also says what the reaping will be. Verse 21, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Should maybe just read those verses, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So those that sow that kind of seed will reap those consequences, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then verse 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the difference, and how that is sowing to the Spirit and will have a totally different harvest. And sometimes we try to convince ourselves that we can sow one thing and reap something different. And I think that there was, in Paul's day, was the same type of thinking pattern sometimes. Because in verse 7 he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." We sometimes somehow think that God won't see what we're doing, and maybe some way he won't hold us accountable to that. But that is deception, and it's very clearly stated here in verse 7. Be not deceived. It's a very real possibility of deception. God will not be mocked, or that word mocked means outwitted, outfoxed, sneered at, or jeered. You won't get around God, period. God will not be mocked. And whatsoever a man sows, that will he reap. And that makes it very serious. God sees everything that we do, whether it's in public, whether it's in private. Everything that we do is a seed that is sown, and it will bear fruit in time. This divine principle is unchangeable and applies to every aspect of our lives, spiritually, physically, financially, and relationally. It affects all areas of our life. You know, if we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. Physically, we know if we plant corn, we'll reap corn. Financially, we know if we're going to spend everything we make or spend it faster than what we make it, we're going to be broke. We know those principles. And relationally, if we want to have friends, we need to be a friend. So it affects all areas of our life. You may have heard this quote before, "Sow a thought, reap an action." And think about the progression here. It starts with something very small. Sow a thought. And you think, you know, what we think is nobody will know it. But it's a seed. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle and reap a destiny. And we see how those little things in life that we think, you know, does it really matter? It's a seed that's sown and will make a difference in our lives. It can lead to a difference of destiny. What we are today is a result of what we have been thinking and doing in the past. And that's serious when we think about that. We become what we do. Those little things that we think about make a difference in our life. And I want to be very clear that God's forgiveness is here for anyone. That blood of Christ was shed for all, even for the worst of sinners. And yet there are scars and there's a reaping for some of those past sins. And I'm sure we can all relate to that. Things in the past that we have done. Yes, God has forgiven us. And yet there's scars. There's reaping for that. The drunkard faces failing health. He's miserable. No money. that's reaping for what he has sown. Immoral lifestyle. There's reaping not only for the immoral person, but also for the family and many other people. And we all know families where the children are suffering because of the parents' immoral lifestyles. There's suffering that comes with that. There's a reaping, not only for the person themselves, but for others. Unkind words. You know, we can't erase that hurt that others have felt by that. There's a story that I read, and I'm not sure what this little boy's name was, but I'm going to call him Harry. This little boy had a problem of being unkind. He was just an unkind little boy. And it's just, that was his first thoughts of just being mean to other children. And his dad multiple times told him these things, it has to change. And so he finally came up with a plan, and he told Harry, every time that you do something unkind, we're going to put a nail in this fence post in our front yard. They had a fence around their yard. Every time you do something mean, we're going to put a nail in there. But also every time you're kind to someone, we'll take a nail out. His father did that in a way to try to make an impression on this boy. And this boy continued to be unkind. And there was more and more nails that were put into this post. And finally, he started noticing that, how many nails are in this post. And finally, it made enough of an impression that it started to change his life. And instead of adding more nails, they slowly started to come out. He was learning to be kind. And finally, there was a day came when the last nail was pulled out. And they rejoiced in that, Harry and his father. But they looked at that post, and what did they see? You know, lots of scars, lots of holes in that post. Yes, the nails were pulled out, and there was a change made in Harry's life. And yet there were scars. There were things there that he had, that reminded him daily of how he used to be. We can experience the grace and the forgiveness of God. And I don't want to underestimate that. God's forgiveness is here for everyone. But there are scars, there are regrets that come with sowing to the flesh. And so I want each one of us to carefully consider today what we are sowing, how we're living our life, that we think carefully about that before there are scars and regrets. A lot of those things can be avoided if we carefully consider our seeds. A few points that I'd like to think about in the message today. Number one is you reap what you sow. And we talked about that a little bit already. In Job chapter 4, verse 8, Job says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. I'm not sure that Job said that, but it's in Job. They that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And there's many examples in the Bible of people that have sowed iniquity and reap the same. We could look at Cain back in the beginning, soon after creation. Cain sowed some seeds of jealousy, and I'm not sure what all he sowed. But it kept growing and becoming bigger, and finally there was murder involved. What did he reap? A curse. He was a fugitive and a vagabond. Probably just started with some thoughts of jealousy towards his brother. Samson would be another in Judges. Samson sowed lust and reaped bitterness. You can't sow lust and expect to reap love. And I think that's what Samson thought he could do, I guess. He lived a very lustful life and somehow expected love in return, but he reaped bitterness. And so it is even today. In Esther chapter 7, Haman sowed pride, looking out for himself, only for himself, and he reaped death. In the book of Daniel, we read of Daniel's accusers when they couldn't find fault in his lifestyle, and so they said anyone that doesn't pray to the king would be thrown in the lion's den. Turn with me to that passage, and it made an impression on me as I thought about that. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 24, and we know that story of Daniel in the lion's den, and how Daniel was delivered, and how these ungodly men that tried to get rid of Daniel, they were also thrown in the lion's den then. We can read that in verse 24. But I want you to especially think about what happened, not necessarily to them, but to their families. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces forever they came to the bottom of the den. Now, I have no idea if these men's wives and children knew anything about what was going on. That I don't know. And yet, the choice that these ungodly men made to have Daniel thrown into the den of lions, that choice that they made greatly affected them and their children. And I want each of us, especially as fathers, to think about that. The things that we are sowing today, or have sown, how is that affecting our wives and children? David would be another one that we could look at. His sin with Bathsheba. Was there forgiveness for him? Absolutely there was. God forgave him. But an absolute bitter reaping. And if you look at David's life after this event, time and time again, there was heartache that he had to endure because of that. It was reaping for that sin. David's sin of numbering the children of Israel. Again, there was forgiveness, but a reaping that ended with many people being killed. Many people lost their lives because of that. These few that we looked at, you know, they chose their sin. And we all have that choice of whether we sin or not. What we sow. But we are not free to choose those consequences of the reaping of the sowing that we do. That is in God's hands. We can't sow to the flesh and sow our wild oats, as we hear sometimes, and then pray to God for a crop failure. It just doesn't work that way. There will be a reaping. Hosea 10, verse 12 and 13. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. What difference? Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way and in the multitude of thy mighty men. And here Hosea is just encouraging his listeners, sow to yourselves in righteousness, or sow good seed, and what will you reap? You'll reap mercy, blessings from God. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And Joseph would be an example of that, how he sowed good seed in his life. He lived a life of purity and he reaped purpose. so different from some of the others that we looked at. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about a lot of men of faith that sowed good seeds. They lived a life according to the word of God and as he wanted them to live. And they reaped the blessings of that. You reap what you sow is a reality just as much the same as the law of gravity. You know, we don't question the law of gravity, and we shouldn't question the law of sowing and reaping. Number two, you reap later than you sow. If we go back to Galatians, in verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It requires patience. And it can be burdensome, wearisome to plant. And I'm sure you all know that. To go out and till the soil, plant seeds, it's a lot of work. But we look forward to that reaping, the blessing of receiving something. And as we plant seeds, we have in our minds, well, in a certain amount of months or years, you know, we'll be able to reap something that we're sowing. And spiritual ministry is just like sowing seeds, teaching our children, giving them spiritual guidance, not only to our children, but those in church, those in New Holland for the youth, or those involved in New Holland ministries, and wherever we go. We are planting seeds as we encourage people, as we speak God's guidance into their lives. And we sow in anticipation of fruit. But sometimes the discouraging part is when we don't see the reaping or the harvest in the amount of time that we expect. And that's especially so in the spiritual sense. You know, we put a lot of work and efforts into people's lives, other people's lives, and we should. And if we don't see any reaping or any rewards from that, we tend to become discouraged. I think that's why Paul is saying, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I'd like to encourage each one, continue to be a blessing to whoever you meet, whether it's New Holland Ministries children, or whether it's children in the church, whether it's whoever it is. If you're encouraging them, don't become weary in well-doing, for there is a reaping if we faint not. It doesn't say it will be in this life, but ultimately there will be a reaping. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And that's the final reaping. And that's the reaping that really matters. You know, we become discouraged if we don't see fruit. And yet ultimately, seeing fruit or having fruit is up to God. What he calls us to do is to plant good seeds in the lives of others. There's a Chinese proverb that says, "If your vision is for a year, plant wheat. If your vision is for 10 years, plant trees. If your vision is for a lifetime, plant people." You know, yeah, we are called to plant seeds, plant wheat, plant other things. But let's invest in the lives of others. Let's make a difference in the lives of others. Let's do what we can to nurture and to encourage others. The seeds you plant never leave your life. And remember that, whether good or bad, those seeds bear fruit. Who you are today is a result of what you sowed yesterday or before. And if you don't like what you see in your life today, think about what you've been sowing. Should I change what I'm sowing to that I can reap what I want to reap? Number three, you reap more than you sow. And Hosea 8 verse 7 says, For they have sown the wind, and they have reaped the whirlwind. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So Hosea was telling his people that, you know, if they sow in the wind, they're going to reap a lot more than what they've sown. And in 2 Corinthians 9 also talks about that. Here it's talking a lot about giving, but it also refers to this sowing and reaping thing, no matter if it's giving or giving in a lot of different ways. Verse 6 in 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And we could go on and read, but I think I'll discontinue there. But if we're sowing sparingly, we will also reap sparingly. So we reap in proportion to what we sow. But we also reap more than we sow. In the parable of the sower in Mark 4, we'll talk about that. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And number four, choose your seeds wisely. And that's the challenge for all of us today. Choose your seeds wisely. Are you dissatisfied with your life? Are you dissatisfied what you see coming out of your life? And if you want to reap differently, you need to sow differently. You need to sow those things that you want to see grow in your life. If you are not satisfied with your walk with God, then you need to nurture your walk with God more. Spend more time with Him in prayer, in His Word. As a farmer, we put a lot of time and efforts into choosing seeds wisely to maximize the results. But as Christians, too often we fail to really think ahead and put forethought into our lives and how we want our lives to look in the future. But this is all part of choosing our seeds wisely. Too often we look in our rearview mirror and might not exactly like what we see in our mirror, in our rearview mirror, but we're not willing to change course. And so we're going to continue seeing those things in our rearview mirror. Ask yourself the question, what will I think about the decision that I'm making now? What will I think about that tomorrow? Will it be with gratitude or with regret, that decision that I'm making today? There's a quote, "Wisdom is looking at this moment and choosing to do the things that you will be glad of tomorrow." I'll read that again. It's so important. "Wisdom is looking at this moment and choosing to do the things that you will be glad of tomorrow." We tend to be short-sighted. We tend to be thinking about what feels good today, what I want for now. But we need to look at things in light of tomorrow. What I'm sowing today will bring a harvest tomorrow. Do the hard things today so you can look back and say, "I'm glad I did it that way." Even though it means something hard today, But do those things so you can look back tomorrow and say, you know, I'm glad I was willing to do that. A lot of what we have today is a result of others that have sown into our lives and into the church. And let's be willing to do that. So good seeds, even though that it might not feel the best for us today, but we're sowing seeds for the future to be a blessing not only to us, but to the lives of others. Verse 10, again in our text in Galatians. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do good to all people. No, it's not about salvation. Our salvation does not come from doing good works. It's not a works salvation. But sowing seeds that will produce fruit that lifts up the name of God. And in 1 Peter, there was a verse, I'm not exactly sure where that was, we read it today, about what we do, that you are a chosen generation to show forth the praises of God. You know, we're here to glorify the name of God. And we do that by doing good to other people. Toxic seeds produce toxic fruit, but good seeds produce good fruit. Be a blessing to other people. Take a meal to someone. Bless them in that way. Give a listening ear to someone that needs that. Someone needs a friend. Be a friend to them. Spend time with God, and that will be planting seeds that will bear good fruit, not only in your life, but in those that you come in contact with each day. And the last point, number 5, trust God with the planting and the harvest. You know, it seems sometimes the enemy is out to bury us. And it becomes discouraging at times as we feels like we're being buried. But maybe God is planting us, is trying to plant us so that we can bring forth fruit for his kingdom. Potential for the future. If we look at the life of Joseph again, how often does it seem like he was buried? He was put down. He was put under. And it doesn't talk much about Joseph's discouragement, but I wonder, how often was Joseph discouraged in the things that he faced? But God used that for the praise of his name and for the blessing of his people. So let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, God decides when there will be a reaping. God decides when some of those seeds that we have planted will bear fruit. And so that's important that we don't grow weary in that. Psalm 126. I'd like to read 2 verses there yet. 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So my encouragement to each one of us is don't give up when it seems like when the going's tough, when you're tired of sowing good seeds. Continue on. And sometimes we water our own seeds with tears. I think that's talking about some of that in Psalms. But continue to plant good seeds. God has promised that they will bear much fruit. Maybe not in our lifetime, but it will be a blessing for us when we stand before God. And hopefully a blessing for coming generations. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, we're grateful this morning that we can be gathered together like this. Thank you for this blessed privilege that we have of looking into your word. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And so many are not blessed in that way. God, I pray that you might give them grace and strength in the situations they find themselves in. We thank you for your word, and I pray that you might help us to bear in mind that the seeds that we sow will bring forth fruit, and help us to choose our seeds wisely. Help us, Father, to be a blessing in the work of your kingdom, and I pray that you might continue to guide our lives for your praise and glory. We again thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he has done for us in shedding his precious blood. And I pray, Lord, that that might move us and motivate us to a deeper walk with you in appreciation of what you've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.